Amen. Father, you are the God who called us to meet up with you. You said, Lord, call upon me, and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things. We have heard this testimony, the importance of overcoming the lack of focus, the lack of direction. We give up too soon. Lord, we are well familiar with the problems. Today, as we look into the mechanics, so that, Lord, you will help us to give a framework. Eventually, Lord, we'll understand the dynamics of prayer. Lord, will you lead us? Holy Spirit, you are here and you told us, you teach us all things. Teach us, Lord, because we, your servants, are listening. In Jesus' name. We all know about prayer. Everybody prays, Christian or non-Christian. But the question is, what are some of the problems we have? So I'm going to give you, first of all, what God's Word says, because God's Word is even more important than everything else. So our key passage is found in the book of, guess in your notes, what does it say? Okay, can we have that scripture? If you have, turn to your Bibles. I admire those who carry paper and ink Bibles. So I'm going to talk about this and tell you what Jesus says, and then after that, I'll give some explanation. Now, I also refer to my scriptures. We're going to read this passage because, you know, it's important to get the context of this verse. All right. I'd like you to, if you have, okay, now I'm going to focus. All right. We are going to read this together. Some of you got NLT, some of you got different versions, but okay, let me just use what NKJV says. Is it okay if we all read this passage together from verse 1 right up to verse 8? Just try to verbalize the word of God. Okay, 1, 2, go. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men and not lose, saying, there is a judge, you know, fear God, no regard. Now, there was a widow in the city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me, for my adversary. And he would not for her, but afterward said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor regard men, yet because this widow troubled me, I'll avenge her, lest her continual coming will bury me. Then, that was good reading. I haven't heard this kind of reading for a long time. All right, good. So we are talking about the discipline of prayer. Prayer is something we should be excited about, but I'm not talking about the exciting part. I'm talking about the discipline part. Because prayer component, there is a component called discipline. As a future senior pastor just said, it's not that we all don't want to pray. We all want to pray. It's not that we all don't need to pray. We all know we need to pray, but somehow we don't pray. Now, the Lord gives us some secrets behind this. The first thing I'd like you to take note of is what he says. What God, Jesus said, Men always ought to pray. This includes women, by the way. And so men ought always to pray. Pray always. Always means all the way. Keep praying and not lose heart. So there are two contrasting things Jesus is talking about. If you don't pray, you will lose heart. But somehow we got a problem here. We lose heart in praying. So losing heart is a battle all of us face. But Jesus said, regardless, you ought to pray. Ought to pray, you could say, you must pray. Pray how often? Always. Can you see the word? Always. That means when you feel like praying, you pray. How about when you don't feel like praying? You must pray. That's why it's a discipline. That's why today I'm going to talk about the mechanics. Because the mechanics has to do with the habit. And the mechanics will then lead you to the dynamics. So, always pray, otherwise you lose heart. That means you give up. That means you pray little. That means you give up too soon. When the prayer is on the way, you need to keep praying. That's the word. Every time Jesus talks about praying, he's talking about pray and keep on praying. Yeah, that's, we have heard other people who kept on praying, they've seen answers. Then sometimes we wonder, hey, can that also happen to me? The Lord says, yes, it always does. So he gives us a story. You know, this is not a story told by someone else. It's the Lord Jesus himself. You know, when Jesus speaks, you know, it is always full of wisdom. And so he tells the story of this. First, he talks about a certain judge. He didn't begin his story about a certain widow. He talks about the judge. A judge. A judge who is corrupted. A judge who is not interested in people. A judge maybe is not so interested in justice. A judge who is not fearful of God. And a judge who thinks he's the boss, not realizing that there's a greater judge who will judge him. So there was a judge in a certain city. This guy does not fear God. All right. Now, then the second character in this story, Jesus talks about a widow. A widow because, why point out a widow? And she came to him saying, give justice for me from my adversary. Three things you need to know about this verse. You know, in those days, a widow has nobody to speak up for her. Because a woman in those days have got not much credibility in a court of law. If she gives her testimony and a man gives a testimony, is all weighted against her. She will not be so credible. Worse, that she's a widow. She's got no man to stand by her. Widows are a pitiful thing in those days because she got no man to lean on, no man to help her. She's on her own. Seems that she probably didn't have any children around to help her either. So she's quite a helpless person. Second, she has an adversary, an enemy. You know, all of us got enemies in our lives. First of all, Satan is our biggest enemy, and we don't even realize it. But in life, we see there are many things against us. Sometimes it is the neighbor who is unfriendly. It could be a colleague who is not helpful. There's competition in our work. And so sometimes we wonder, we look around, do you have many friends? Many of us can't even name 10 friends, people we can rely on. So she has enemies, no friends, and an adversary. Adversary is a word that means someone against you. That's adversary. So we have got many things that can be against us. Can be ill health, can be a lousy job, can be lack of money, can be disharmony in the home, we have enemies. And so what do we do? So this case is brought before the court. And then what's the problem? It says here, he would not for a while, but afterward he said to himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man. So he said, he will not for a while. He will not answer. He will not impose justice. He refused to even consider her case. And just put it one side. After all, widows are weak. They don't have money. They don't have friends. They don't have power. So after a while, so now Jesus is talking about an earthly judge. What kind of people we all face? Why do we need to know this? Because we all get the idea that God is like this judge. So Jesus has constructed a picture of the kind of judge we have in our mindset. Because we have come from a background where we have dealt with people who are not friendly, unreasonable judges. So Jesus is now explaining that this judge talked like this. Though I do not fear God and I don't care about men, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. The word avenge here means I will vindicate her. I'll clear her case. I'll help her. I'll give her justice. Because, not because I'm supposed to do it, not because I fear anybody, but because I don't want her to keep on pestering me. Because if she does so, she'll weary me. I'll get so tired because I cannot stand someone who keeps on pestering me. That's what he says. So this is what earthly judges do. All right. So the Lord is now constructing a scenario where it seems like a hopeless case. So he still answered her request because of her one thing, persistence. Persistence is a very powerful tool. I remember my wife's sister, stepsister, not educated. She was very resourceful. She learned from someone how to do hair perming. And then she opened a shop for perm hair. So, and then the kids grew up and her children, she wanted to put them in a good school. So she brought her daughter to, suppose in those days, one of the best schools is called Raffles Girls' School, primary school. Raffles brought her kid there and sat down outside the principal's office and said, I want my girl to be registered in this school. They say, no, cannot. Firstly, you don't stay in this area. Second, her grades are not very good. Thirdly, and blah, blah, blah. She refused. No. My girl must attend this school. No, cannot. She said, cannot. She sat outside, waited. And the principal in the end gave up. All right, register your kid. And now that girl has grown up to be quite a... She became one of the top educators running a school in China, Singapore school. You see, persistence, even in the normal life, persistence works. Then what did the Lord say? The Lord now answers, give the principle behind it. The Lord said, hear what the unjust just said. Hear what he said. That he said that because this widow troubles me, I will vindicate her. Because she keeps on troubling me. Now, people think, oh, the Lord here means that if we keep troubling him, he got no choice. So must keep troubling him. Make a lot of noise. He's very reluctant. He's like this judge, you know, who cares for nobody. He doesn't care for people. But if you pester him long enough, you will get an answer. Is that so? No. The Lord is not trying to. That's not the point the Lord is trying to make. The Lord said, if this evil judge can give justice to a widow, the key word I want you to underline is the word, and shall God not? Shall God not? Underline the word. Shall God not? Underline that word. Shall God not do, meaning shall God not vindicate his own elect? Can you see this word elect? Now, this is a very important word. The word elect means those who are chosen by him. Who are elect? It's you who knows Jesus by faith. You are called the elect. Now, an elect is one who have a covenant relationship with God. That means if you have trusted in Jesus by faith, you have a relationship with God called a covenant relationship. Just like husband and wife, that's a covenant relationship, right? So whatever the wife wants, however unreasonable, the husband should do right for her because there's covenant, right? He cannot run away, correct or not? She says, I want to buy a big house. He has to find the money and buy the big house. Well, generally saying, because of the relationship. If it's another woman, say, buy me a big house, he will say what? Go and fly kites, right or not? So there is some obligation in a covenant relationship. So the Lord is saying now, if an evil judge is willing to respond to the persistence of a widow, how much more because you are an elect and you cry out day and night to him. So what is the meaning here? Here, firstly, there are two contrasts. It's not a comparison, it's a contrast. Contrast between God, who cares for us, who are his elect or a covenant relationship or chosen people. So God cares for us. That judge couldn't care less about the widow. But God cares for us. So there are two contrasting judges here. One, an earthly judge who didn't care. The other is a one who cares for his people. It's a different contrasting relationship. Now, the second contrast is the widow. The widow has got nobody to help him. And she's really desperate. Ignored by the court of laws. But now, Jesus is saying, what? Verse 8, I tell you, that's a way of emphasis. I'm emphasizing to you that he will avenge or vindicate them speedily. Who will vindicate? The Lord our God will vindicate, will answer you how at what speed. What does the word say here? What's the word used here? Speedily. Speedily means quickly, isn't it? But sometimes we say, hey, is that so? Yes, Jesus is trying to convince us that when God answers, he answers speedily. When a prophet Daniel, in desperate prayer to God, he waited 21 days before he saw the answer. But when the angel came, the angel said, Lord, the moment you prayed, your prayer speedily, it comes straight away before God, and God immediately answered speedily. But then why it took 21 days? The angel said, there was fighting in the spiritual realm. There are a lot of things happening in the spiritual realm that determines what happens in our physical realm. So you need to understand that prayer is dealing with the spiritual realm, not the physical realm. But as far as God is concerned, He's not like the unrighteous judge. He is a God who cares for you because you are His elect or His people. But what's the problem? Jesus summarized finally. Jesus is saying, the problem is not on my side. The problem is on your side. Because He says, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Will He find faith? So, you see, faith becomes a criteria for your prayers. Do you really believe God hears and answers? We have heard this for 3 weeks now, that God hears. He's not deaf. He hears and He answers. All right. But Jesus says the problem is the day I come back to earth, the second coming, by that time, I wonder whether I'll ever find faith, because it takes faith to keep on praying. We are happy to get this land in Tampines, but you know, we've been praying for the last 40 years. We are praying for the last, since 1979, we have been praying. And it's very, very hard to get government land. It's not hard, it's virtually impossible. But we have kept praying because of God's promises. So there are three reasons we have covered why we need to keep on praying. First, Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. So if you don't ask, you won't get. So that's the first thing Jesus says, why we don't see the answers. Number two, we don't ask truly in Jesus' name. That means we are not asking for the glory of Jesus. Sometimes maybe we are a bit frivolous. We didn't think through. We are just responding to our situation. We are not asking so that Jesus would be glorified. That's asking in Jesus' name. And the Lord Jesus said, ask and you receive. If you keep on asking, that's persistence. So you have not the answer because you did not ask. Of course. Why don't we ask? Because we say, what's the use? God won't answer anyway. Wrong. The judge is very eager to answer speedily. Two, we ask so that our joy will be full if we ask in Jesus' name. If we ask according to His will, He hears us. Jesus said very specifically in His word, if you ask according to His will, He hears. He is not deaf. He is not sleeping somewhere and you have to wake Him up. Do you know the Lord is with us all the time? He's involved with our lives 24/7, every hour, every minute. You read that in the scriptures in 1 Chronicles, that everything that's happening on earth, He is there, present, to intervene. Then lastly, we have to keep on asking. We don't give up too soon. So that's a parable that Jesus is talking about, prayer. Men ought always to pray. Now, question is this. What I've just explained to you are now in your notes. So you need to read the notes for yourself, that this is something we have to do to keep on asking. So we call this the discipline. It takes discipline to pray. So summing up what I've just spoken to you, let me see, it's all in the notes, so you not follow. The key word for today is always. Always praying. Don't stop praying. Keep on praying. If there's only one word the Lord wants you to hear, keep on praying. Whether you feel like praying or you don't feel like praying, whether you feel that you have a lot of faith or you've got little faith, the difference is more on the Lord who hears And secondly, whether you keep on trusting God so that you keep praying. All right, that's the first thing. And this story is about a contrast between the judge and God. So that's what I'm trying to share with you. And a contrast between the widow and us. We are not like the widow. Yeah, maybe we are not so desperate for an answer like the widow. And then we work very hard. We got no time to pray. God said pray always, but we worry always. We work always. We try and solve the problem ourselves. Because somebody say, God help those who help themselves. By the way, that phrase is not in the Bible. Then, the problem we have in our prayer is we give up too soon. And secondly, we need to be like this widow who is undaunted by the odds. How do you define faith? It is to be undaunted by the odds against us. You know, God is very, very, in a very funny habit to deal with our problem when the odds are against us. That's how he shows his glory. Every time that when the odds are against us, pray. Even though the odds are against us. You know, we think too much in the law of probability. If we did that, we will not get this church in Tampines. But the key word from the parable is, will he not? Will God not? Remember this phrase, will he not? And he says, he will. If he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not freely with him also give us all things? So we need to keep on praying, all right? Especially when you cannot solve the problem. We have an adversary. And the adversary sometimes, the biggest adversary is ourselves. Because we don't believe God, we are blocking God's answer. So we have to keep asking. Now the key word further is, remember how much more will the judge. God is a God of how much more. Don't compare him with the unrighteous judge. Please, that is the first thing you've got to deal with. If you keep comparing him with the unrighteous judge, you will not see any result. Because we are the chosen people, we have a covenant relationship. But Jesus says, will I find faith? Jesus didn't say, will I find big faith? Will I find solid faith? You know, sometimes we don't even know what is the size of our faith. Whatever faith you have, based on what God has promised, faith cannot be maintained without the promises of God. So what has God promised? First, he said, it's all in your notes, in 1 Peter, that God is not slack concerning his promises. As human beings count slackness, but he's faithful. He says he's not slack. Secondly, Romans 8 says, he didn't even spare his own son. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Then he says in James 1:17, he's the father of lights. All good gifts, all perfect gifts comes from the father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's an old English way of saying God never change. Every good gift that you ever receive, it is not by fluke, it's always from the Lord, the Father of lights, who delights to give us good things. And when we delight in the Lord, delight enjoying him, then he gives us the desires of our hearts. So these are plenty of scripture. I got another 10 more scriptures to quote to you. But try and learn for yourself what God has said about answering prayer. And the Lord Jesus himself keep on saying, ask and keep on asking. Ask and it shall be what? You receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Do you know that Jesus didn't give one parable? He gave three parables about the reluctant judge or reluctant people compared to the generous God. So you need to understand where God has come from. That's why when people take God's word by faith, they see miracles. Some of us say, how come I don't see miracles? Because you didn't take God's word by faith. I learned one of the heroes of faith that I emulate and I try to learn from is a guy called Dawson Trotman. He believed in God's word. So when he read that verse from Jeremiah, and the word says, God says, call upon me and I'll answer you and I'll show you great and mighty things which you know not. That means you have never experienced before. God is in the habit of doing great and mighty things, not small things. Small things also he does. It's okay. You know, I go to the running track at 5 a.m. in the morning, and when it rains, you know, you cannot run because my running shoes got holes at the top. Rain goes in. So I say, Lord, please, can you stop the rain for a while? Let me finish my run. Then you carry on with the raining. So one day I told my wife like this, it's been happening so often. I think the Lord is also interested in small things. My wife said, don't tell people that. People think God is so sayang you. So be careful. Don't. So after a while, I see, even small things. But God say, ask for big things. All right? And because he's not slack. All right? So these are some of the key principles. But there's one thing I like to highlight. Jesus said, men ought always to pray, otherwise you lose heart. I think the best example I can give you for this is King David. Okay, I didn't give you the full story in the notes, otherwise you'll be voluminous. Let me tell you the story of King David. King David was a man who have a lot of weaknesses, but he always prayed. So one day, when he had 400 men, he was being hunted by King Saul, so he went to live in Philistia, which is today the Gaza area. So he made friends with the king of the Philistines. And so one day he offered 400 men constitute a battalion minus to join in the Philistinian army to attack Saul's army. So halfway, the general said, now, we don't trust David. So they convinced the king to say, tell him to go back. So David and his 400 battle warriors went back to their hometown called Ziklag in the south of Israel at that time. So when he got back to Ziklag, what did he see? All their houses burned down to ashes. And all their wives and their children who were left behind were taken as prisoners. None was left. Everybody cried. The Bible says they cried until they had no more tears left. And they were so disappointed and angry, they even talk about stoning David, their leader. You know, when people are in distress, they do crazy things. The first guy they whack would be the leader, always like that. So, David was also discouraged. His wife is all gone. His children is gone. Every one of them look at each other, sad faces. What did David do? The Bible says he turned things around because of one thing. David decided to pray. Yeah, everybody was losing heart. But he decided to pray. And how did he decide to pray? The scripture says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. What does that mean? To encourage yourself in the Lord, you go back to consider what kind of God you have, what kind of Heavenly Father you have, what are the promises you have He has given, and what from the past history, how does God operate? That God is a faithful God. That's how he encouraged himself. Nobody was there to encourage him. He encouraged himself based on God's promises. Now, Peter sums up this way, that by his precious promises, we can partake in his divine nature, which is the supernatural nature, if we do what? Depend on his promises. So David was doing that. And when he did that, what did he do? He prayed. When he encouraged yourself in the Lord, what can you do? In a hopeless situation, you pray. That's all he had. And the Bible says, when what did he do to pray? He talked to God. You know, our brother told us, prayer is about talking to God. It's not just because you have some need, but you need to communicate with God. So what did David say? He says, Lord, what should I do? Ask for guidance. And the Lord, should I pursue after them, the enemy, the Amalekites that have come and taken away our entire township? Should I go? Asking God. You see, you may say, hey, it's obvious. You should just go straight away, rush out. No. You see, this is the mechanics. David stopped and inquired of God. Ask God. Jesus said, ask. Well, so this man asked. Ask. Simple question. Lord, do I chase after them now or what shall I do? And the Lord told him, go. Chase after them. See, you need to understand that when you ask, God answers. But if you don't believe there's an answer, then you hear nothing. So, when he chased after the enemy, the Bible says in a short summary, David got everything back. Everything. He didn't lose a single piece of wealth. He got everything. He did not lose heart. How did he not lose heart? He prayed. So you don't pray, you lose heart. Well, was he very excited about praying? I don't think so. You know, it's just the mechanics of prayer. He just did what he used to do. On the other hand, King Saul was the one who had it good, became appointed first king. He was tall, he was handsome, he got everything. You know, but he didn't pray. So God summarized up in 1 Chronicles chapter 10 that, you know, this man, Saul, God said, I appointed him. I give him everything. But he never once inquired from me. He never talked to me. He never asked me any questions. He never asked me to help him. He tried everything on his own. That means he refused to exercise faith. Do you know, God gave three reasons why he killed Saul. God gave a death sentence on Saul. One reason, he was unfaithful to God. He did not obey. But the last reason was, God said, he never talked to me. He never depended on me. He never inquired from me. Check your Bible. 1 Chronicles 10. God was disappointed with this man. Appointed as king. He thinks he's so powerful. He thinks everything he does his own way. He never inquired from me. But King David, always, Lord, what do I do? In Ziklag, he inquired from God. Do you know when he started inquiring from God? You check back all the way from a teenager looking after sheep, he always worshiped God. He's always talking to God. What kind of Christian are you? If you keep telling, I got no time to talk to God. Wow, you are so powerful, so big. You got no time for God. You got no time. If you have no time for God, do you think God has time for you? Saul had no time for God, and God had no time for him. And God, Paul, Saul died. There are many practical reasons given in the book of Kings. But the real reason is given in 1 Kings 10. God gave him the death sentence because he was too proud, too self-sufficient. So he never prayed. All right, so the next 20 minutes, I just want to give you some practicalities. Because you need to make it understand the mechanics before you hope for the dynamics. The dynamics means you are seeing great answers to great prayers, miracles. Hey, get used to the mechanics first. Because some of us don't pray because we don't understand the mechanics. We sit down to pray, and then, as brother said, we forgot what are we sitting down, what are we supposed to pray about. I like this man called Ananias who prayed for Paul. He was sitting by the window praying early in the morning, and always praying. Now, how do we start? Okay, let's look at some practicalities. So I'm going to now give two things you need to know about praying. One is design your prayer habit around your personal lifestyle. I mean, you can change your lifestyle for the sake of praying, but the existing lifestyle, see how you can fit in. Are you a morning person or night person? Or if you're a night person, can you change to a morning person? Well, it's up to you. But what's a real lifestyle you want to do? Set a time for prayer. What you need to do is tell God what when you want to meet him. All right. Decide how long this could be. I didn't say you must pray for 1 hour. Jesus said, can you wait with me 1 hour? Well, most of us don't know what to do with the 1 hour. I'll show you what can be done. You may wish to change your lifestyle to cater for your prayer time. You see, the Lord Jesus began his day and a long while before day. Now, what is a long while before day? What time is it? Day starts at normally 6 o'clock, right? So a long while before day will be probably 4 o'clock or maybe 5 o'clock. All right. Now, Jesus started very early for his prayer time. Now, some of you wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning. So 5 o'clock is a torture for you. I leave it to you. You decide. But I like to highlight one story that is I found is called, that's an interesting book, a secular book called The 5 a.m. Club. You can read this book or hear some of this story by a guy called Robin Sharma. He's a bestseller. And he claims that the 5 o'clock club members tend to be more effective. A lot of successful people belong to the 5 a.m. club. I also belong to the 5 a.m. club. So I get up at 5. But then, of course, you must sleep earlier. You cannot sleep at 1 a.m. in the morning and expect to be up at 5 o'clock. So you belong to the 8 o'clock club, right? So which club do you belong to? You decide. If prayer is so important. Now, try to find gaps. Brother Isaac recommend fit in the prayer. Pray with others. You can pray in a way, if you are on the MRT, you can pray. When I drive, I also pray. I pray, God, please keep me safe. No accidents. That's a very simple prayer. But it's a prayer. Then we say spontaneous prayer, especially if you face an accident, it's a very traumatic experience. Remember Jeremy shared with us how when he had involved with a 7-car collision, it's very stressful. So we need to pray. How about lunch breaks? Can you find the time to pray? Those of you who say, I got no time to pray, hey, how long is your lunch break? Is it 1 hour? Well, can you cut into half? Just pray for half an hour and eat for the other half hour. Okay. And then we talk about the mechanics. Okay, under mechanics, let me use this. Thanks, Jack, for your picture, because your picture got no reflection. Okay, now take note of this. This is my mind map. Let me sum up the mechanics with this picture. All right. So, okay, now, it's all in your notes. Let me summarize it because of time. One of the first things we have in our life problem is focus. You know, we try to pray and then halfway something crop up and then we have to jot down some urgent matters. We get distracted, but here is we don't know how to start. We want to pray. We sit down and then our minds begin to wander. So this is one of the challenges all of us face. We want to pray, but our minds are all over the shop. We've got a lot of worries, a lot of problems. So what do? We call it, you begin with step one. We call it a centering prayer. What is a centering prayer? Okay, the details are in your notes. But a centering prayer is an opening word that helps you to start talking to God. So I've given you a few ideas. What is a centering prayer? If you're familiar with the psalm, you quote the psalm to help. Use the psalm for you to pray. Any psalm that you know, okay, the psalms would be good. But a simple prayer can be, some people use certain words. Like a phrase, come Jesus, come. In Greek, this is translated as Maranatha. Okay. It's something, some people have think it sounds like a mantra. But so when Mr. Lee Kuan Yew was going through a very difficult time and his wife was very sick and he was under so much pressure, so he talked to one Christian and asked, what can I do? And he gave him one word called Maranatha, which means, come Jesus, come. And he used it. Now, I don't know whether he believed in Jesus, but at least he helped him to focus. So, centering prayer can be a word like the prayer of the tax collector. He says, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy. Can be an opening verse or word. Or there's Lamentations 3:22-23 is a good verse to just every time you pray, start with this verse. That your mercies are new every morning. Just a phrase that or a prayer that you are familiar with. Or even a hymn, you know, that you are familiar with, you want to begin with. Or you feel you are not good at singing, all right? So you have a phrase like, Father, be exalted. That's a song called, Be Exalted, O God, above the heavens. I will give thanks to thee. Seems like that would be just first thing, opening with this word. Or a song like, Lord Jesus, I enthrone you. Just a phrase that you are familiar with. Then you repeat it several times. It's okay. Because it's a centering prayer to bring your mind to be centered on Jesus. Okay? So every time you find very distracted, go back to this centering prayer that you have chosen for yourself. A simple prayer. Okay? So centering prayer. Then you move to second step two. Pray the prayer of examen. Examen is not an English word. It's a Latin word used by the ancient godly men. And it has to do with examining the last 24 hours about two things. One, the events that has taken place for which you want to give thanks. You are thankful to God for what has happened in the last 24 hours. Well, you want to do 24 years, also can, but usually this is to help you lead into prayer. Why? This is to help you know what's the first thing you want to focus on, because focus and distraction, lack of focus, lack of distraction is a problem we are trying to grapple with. So the prayer of examen would be a good. Broadly speaking, this word simply means examining your life for the last 24 hours. What has happened? Say some good things that happened to you. Like you get up in the morning, you are a 5 a.m. club member, you would look back and say, Lord, thank you for giving me good night's sleep. At least I had 4 hours of sleep or 8 hours of sleep. Last night I had 9 hours of sleep, but that doesn't happen often. Okay. Every time my wife, I tell her I slept for 9 hours, she have a good laugh. Got one time I slept at 8:30, you know, and she was joking with my daughter, how come daddy sleeps so early, can sleep? Well, if you have been having a heavy day, maybe you could. Anyhow, the idea here is first, recall the last 24 hours, anything you want to thank God for. Thank God you are alive. Thank God you are got no problem. Thank God you slept well. Thank God you have good appetite. Whatever. Simple. Whatever, you are thankful to God. Now, then you examine your last 24 hours. You say anything that you have short of. You didn't have time to pray. You're so busy with your work. Maybe in the last 24 hours, you didn't pray much. You sort of had no time for God. That's a time for confession. And tell the Lord, Lord, I missed it out. I was too busy for you. Lord, I want to... Or maybe I said something that was not very edifying. So I confess to the Lord. I cleared. We are talking about the last 24 hours. It's easier. Why? Because if you start reckoning back 24 years, then you end up distracted. This is to help you usher into prayer. All right. So the third prayer you move into is step three, is called prayer of blessing. When you bless the Lord's name, you are actually worshiping Him. You know, blessing the name of the Lord. But also get into the habit of blessing your children, your wife. These are what I call prayer of blessing. So you've got the prayer of centering prayer, you got prayer of examen, then you begin to pray prayer of blessing. How can you bless God's name? This morning we sang a lot of songs saying, yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, everything has come from you. It's from your hands that I'm enjoying abundance. That's blessing. Job prayed, blessed be the name of the Lord. These are what we call the language of blessing. Use that, because you're now trying to focus on moving into prayer. So this will be the mechanics. And so the psalmist like to use this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, is what the psalmist says in Psalm 103. So Psalm 100. Now those who still got problems, flip to Psalm 100. That will help you. Because 100 is easy to remember, right? Flip open. 100. Okay, read those words. Those were words of worship and blessing. Just remember, what psalm? 100. All right. Then you move on to the prayer of distress. Now, if you start with prayer of distress, you get so caught up with your problem, you have no time to pray. So what do you do? Make this only the fourth step. When casting all your cares upon Him, that's what the Word of God says. Because He cares for you. Remember, God cares for you. So what must you do? Some of you say, look, I'm so busy, I cannot finish my work. Every day I'm struggling to get my work done. I can't even get it finished. Then can you cast this burden to the Lord? The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's good. So that's why we get very hard to pray. We don't pray much because we don't even cast our cares upon. We carry all our burdens. But the Lord Jesus said, cast your cares. That's a prayer of distress. That's step four. So you begin with a centering prayer to focus. Then you go to a prayer. What prayer? The second step? Sorry? Prayer of? Examine. Okay. Examine. I know it's not an English word. I couldn't find a better word. That's why I had to. Okay. So first one, centering prayer. Second step, prayer of examine. Prayer number three. Well, I see you read very well. Prayer of blessing. And then the prayer of distress. Don't start with a prayer of distress. Start with centering prayer. Then go on to step five, prayer of intercession. Then you'll be ready. This is called systematically praying for others. One way would be to do ripple prayer. Ripple prayer means you start with your own situation, pray for your family, then you go further and further afield. That's called ripple prayer. Details I've given in your notes, but for ripple prayer, I've given you some outline on for myself. I use this form of ripple prayer. Okay. Hello. It's still working. Thanks. So sometimes it's because we can't remember, therefore it's good to have a prayer list. Okay. Start with Monday. Ripple prayer, we pray for your own children. Well, this is what I do, but you can do it differently, up to you, how you want to pray. My immediate family. Tuesday, I pray for ministry. So, like E99, many of you don't know about E99. It's a group of young people here in our church. So, what do I do? So, when I pray for E99, I got a prayer list of all the names of people in E99. So, I bring each one before the Lord. Because I so cannot remember everybody's name, right? So, I make use of a prayer list. Then, the youth, wave riders, all of you ought to have these four lists with you. Okay. If you need, we'll give you the list so that you pray for them, both for those who are leading and those who are receiving, like CK, our children, young children. They are very important. They are the future of our leaders of our church. So you need to pray for them. Then Wednesday, you go out further, pray for our church leaders, church projects, church core values, and so on. Or Thursday, I like to pray for missions, daughter churches, leaders, members, and projects they want to do. For instance, I pray for Shanghai. We pray for some of the members who have gone on trying to start a church in Chongqing. Another group wants to do started a small group in Tokyo. You know, from Shanghai to Tokyo is like from Singapore to KL, something like that. It's quite near, lah. So they just hop over. They work in Tokyo. Shanghainese, many of them speak Japanese. So they have a cell group now in Tokyo, which is a branch from Shanghai. So recently there's one of them has moved to America, so they want to start a cell group in the United States. So these are things connected with missions, I would pray. Cambodia, I have encouraged them to pray for the Phnom tribe, the people in the central highlands. And so we got one young man from the Phnom tribe now in a Cambodian church, so I'm praying for him to be our key man to launch the church in among the Phnom people. Then Friday, pray for extended family. Then Saturday, focus on your own needs, because we need to pray for others, but we also need to pray for ourselves. Always what do you need? Wisdom? Is it decision making? Is it your husband and wife relationship? Is it getting stale? These are things you bring before the Lord. But Sunday, I prefer to focus on worship. So this would be the way I would do for my systematic prayer. You know, you have to be systematic. So you need some prayer lists. Okay, you write out. After a while, because you already memorize it, then you don't need the list. You already got your list in your mind. Okay, I don't know what you pray for your children. I pray for all my children each week that the Lord will use them mightily, and that they will always love the Lord. So these are an important prayer. So this one can take much longer because praying through the scriptures is a very important, taking God's promises. So responding to God's word, especially if you do scripture memory, praying through what God says is a very, especially when you are studying the word. And lastly, would be journaling your prayer journal. Journal is just a small notebook where you keep track of things you ask the Lord for. I remember my wife used to have a booklet. She puts down all the names of people she prayed for. And then annually, she'll check through the list and see which one has come to know the Lord. So journaling is a good habit. Some of us are lousy at journaling, but you can work on it. It's an idea. So 7 steps or 6 steps to develop the mechanics of your prayer life. Can you consider? Look at this. First one has to do with how to overcome distraction and wandering mind. Then this sequence is to help you. If you can memorize it every time you pray, follow these 6 steps. That will help you to, so that you don't jump here and there. I wrote this one out because I've heard problems people have for prayer. So I put this together and I put it as 6 steps. And I find that this is helpful. If you memorize these steps, then every time you pray, at least you got that sense of direction. Okay? So now can you, let's be quiet before the Lord. And just what do you decide? The Lord says men always ought to pray. Always. Have you decided how you're going to pray? What I want you to do right now is ask the Lord to help you decide on how you're going to pray. Are you going to start at a set time? Tell the Lord what time you like to set, and the Lord will always help you to be there to pray. Just tell the Lord what time you like to pray. Set a time. Don't worry whether you can get up on time. Don't worry about that. The Lord will help you. Or are they lunchtime? Or what is the time? Allocate that time just that you meet with the Lord. If you're still not sure, ask the Lord, what's a good time I should have? Okay, you have decided the time. Can we just stand and have closing prayer? Father, thank you for giving each of us time. Our time belongs to you. And we have decided what time we want to meet with you. Lord, enable each of us to be able to put into place the mechanics so that, Lord, we will not be just clueless as to how to start and how to overcome our distractions. Lord, you told us you're looking for faith, and we want to express our faith through our prayers. Some of us, Lord, just feel overwhelmed with our workload, and the work will never finish. But Lord, we want to ask you to give us the ability to put aside our work and cast our burden on you. Lord, there are some here who are having problems with sleep, and I pray, Lord, as they decide the time to meet with you, you give them good rest, Lord. They'll sleep well. There's someone here who have difficulty sleeping because of coughing at night. Lord, will you just alleviate that cough so that he'll sleep and be rested. And then, Lord, some of us, we are trying to make our marriages to be something that is exciting and great and not stale. Lord, enable them to pray together. And then, Lord, for those who are parents here, wondering how their kids are going to grow up, how to pass exams, how to be normal kids, how to be able to prosper, and more than just surviving, worries about our children. We see the world getting more and more complicated. Lord, we cast this care upon you. And then, Lord, for those who are occasionally having difficulties in health issues, whether it be just vertigo problems or heart problems or tiredness, Lord, as they pray, will you show yourself mighty on their behalf? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to our groups.